Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emily Morse from sexwithemily.com. Do you want to last longer in bed? Promescent is the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation. 1 in 3 men suffer from premature ejaculation, but they don't have to. Go to promescent.com to get the desensitizing spray that will allow you to have the sex you deserve.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and anything in between. For more information, come to sexwithemily.com. You can listen to our podcast. Sign up for our mailing list. And sign up for our mailing list, actually, because you're going to get the 5 biggest mistakes that men are making in bed and the 5 biggest mistakes women are making in bed. And you might find yourself there on that list, and there might be some tweaks you want to make. But also, better than that, you'll be added to our mailing list where I will not spam you, but I'll just send you some interesting emails every so often that will help improve your sex life and your relationship. And check out our content. We've got great blogs. We've got videos. We've got a lot of interesting things happening there. So when you go to our website, it helps us too. And we enjoy having you there. And we enjoy you listening to the podcast. And I am here with Menace, who is finally in Los Angeles and will be joining me again once a week doing a show.
Hello, Emily. Hey, do you know what? Do you know what's crazy?
Tell me.
Is speaking about content, did you post any photo galleries from your trips to Vegas? You have been going, I'm sure you've talked about it since I've not been here, but you've been going to Vegas like crazy.
I know.
To all these porno.
I have. You know what? It's actually on the list. We have a we've done some videos.
Yeah.
I was 3 times in Vegas. I gave the keynote at AVN, the adult video awards, like the Oscar porns. And I
did a bunch of videos there. So if you go to my YouTube channel and subscribe, you'll see some videos on there. We also have a photo album of a bunch of sexy hot photos that we're still going to post on our Facebook page and also our website. And yeah, it was, and I'm going to Vegas at the end of the month. And it was crazy. I felt
You're
like
you. Always in Vegas now.
I know, I'm going at the end of the month again. And it was amazing. I mean, I've never been to AVN and it was crazy. Like I felt like a virgin there. I felt like I was like the tame one. Usually I'm in the crowd, like Sex with Emily, whoa. It's like there's porn stars who are like squirting all over the place.
Well, I was looking at your Instagram feed and then it's just like these porn stars all over you.
I know, it's kind of hot, you know? Right? Yeah, they are.
Is it
kind of
hot? I don't know.
No, mine isn't like porn. But no, it was really, really fun giving out awards. But I got so sick in January because at three sec, probably everyone's like, yeah, that happens at AVN in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I think you get sick anyway when you go to Vegas. But it was, and I gave the keynote speech, which we're in the process of editing. It was an hour and a half long, so I'm not going to make y'all sit through it. I know I talked for an hour and a half.
You talked for an hour and a half?
Yeah, and no one left. No one fell asleep.
No one left?
Nope. And people keep emailing me about it, so I'm going to get a little snippets of that up for you as well. But yeah, it was an honor to be at the AVN and to be in Vegas and speaking and doing all that stuff and meeting all the porn stars. We've had a lot of shows with porn stars since you haven't been here with us.
You
can't be here. We have the porn star shows. But we're having a lot of different guests coming up and stuff too. But yeah, Vegas was good. Are you going back to Vegas soon?
I am for a bachelor party.
When?
I am going, the almost the last weekend in April.
Okay.
I'll be there. And we're probably going to go to Spearmint Rhino.
Oh, have you ever been?
That's
the premier strip club.
And then we're probably going to get a table and just, you know, make it rain.
Now, when you're that drunk, can you get into all the strippers or you still don't like it?
No, I'm just going to go there and make sure because I'm just going to be starting my new radio show. By the way, I'm here in Los Angeles because
thank God
I got a job on a new radio show called The Woody Show. It's going to be on Alt 98.7 every single morning in Los Angeles. You can stream through the iHeartRadio app. But it's going to be my first week after I do my new job and then I'm going to be in Vegas. So I can't get like crazy and trash and stuff because I'm going to be on
How can you be in Vegas and not be crazy trashed?
Because work because work is way more important than
Trump's. Yeah, work menaces the hardest working man in show business.
But I'm going to make sure all my friends get crazy and trashed and, you know.
Do you need any like special treats for the
For what?
Bachelor, I don't know. Bachelor bags?
It's
not like bachelorette parties?
Yeah, bachelorette parties is like, penis popsicles.
Do you want a vagina popsicle? Do you want a boob cake?
No.
I've got a boob cake cake pan.
My friends, all they want is alcohol and like dollar bills to go to the strip club, which I just see. This is the thing. Okay. Strip clubs are great. Shout out to all the strippers that, you know, make money
Love
and drive all this
right.
stuff. But for men, I just don't get it, you know? It's not like you're taking the chick home at the end of the night. You're not.
But some guys do, and when they or think
oh,
they
don't
will.
Don't encourage them because that is
I
like
know,
the
this
1%.
Is like our ongoing thing.
That's like the 1%. And don't think you're going to be that guy that's going to take them home. If you're the guy that's taking them home, you best have like a ton of money in the bank.
Right.
I'm sorry.
And if you're the guy that takes her home, please don't call me and say, but she really, really liked me. It seemed she was really into me. Yeah, because she wanted your money. She wanted you to buy her dinner or whatever
but,
it is.
But again, if that does get you excited and you love it, then more power to you.
Right.
Me, I don't get it. I'd rather spend $30 now to take a girl to the movies. And then you could potentially have sex with them after.
Right.
You know,
potentially.
I think that's a better investment than just throwing money out
But
there.
A lot of men, they get off of they like looking at the women and they really do believe like, but this, I can't tell you how many guys I talked to, like, I know she's a stripper, but she was really, like, the way she looked at me and she gave me her number.
Oh, and those Vegas strippers, well, dude, they
they're
are
pros.
They're on another level. Like, I'd just give them money just because they just like they're so good at it.
I know, right?
I like talking
You're like,
to you.
I'm just really, I want you to teach me how to do business because like, you guys make a ton of money.
Yeah, they can talk. It's crazy. We should totally. We've always talked about doing a Vegas show. Now that I'm here in Los Angeles and
we
we're
can take
super, super close to Vegas, we need to do a Vegas show.
Do you want to come with us in a few weeks? We're going to the International Lingerie Show. March 31st.
March 31st?
Yeah. It's during the week, though. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You could totally do it. You're not even working on
Yeah.
Yet.
It's
kind of fun.
I'll think about it.
Okay, we'll talk about it. It'll be awesome. So I go to this. Yeah. So I love. So anyway, it was a very exciting month. But then I got sick, which, you know, I never got sick except for I did get sick this summer. And now I'm getting sick again. And then I got a concussion last week. But anyway, we are going to the International Lingerie Show, which is lingerie. But it's also like you'd love, I mean, I don't know. It's just fun. It's all this crazy, sexy toys on the market, the latest and greatest things. Just, and you think everyone in the industry is like freaky, crazy, weird, but it's not. It's like fun, cool people. It's the latest and greatest toys. And a lot of my sponsors are there. And, you know, I actually, Fleshlight. Have you ever had used a Fleshlight, Menace?
I haven't, but you know the Joe Rogan podcast, they would always talk about the Fleshlight.
Okay, so what do they say?
They say it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so the Fleshlight is the best male sex toy. And I've heard about the Fleshlight for years. I mean, it actually looks like a flashlight. And then inside of it, it's like a, you know, vagina. It feels like you're having sex with something. And it's, you can wash it out. You can use lube with it. It's very discreet. And the thing about the Fleshlight is I had heard about it, and I think a lot of men think, oh, toys are for women, I've got my hand, but it's a whole different experience. And if you want to do any stamina training, maybe you don't last long enough in bed, it just, and believe me, I've said this before, I want to have a penis for a day. And if I had a penis for a day, I'd have sex with a lot of women, I'd get a few blowjobs, and then I would use a Fleshlight for the, to put me to bed at night. Because really, it's amazing. So I just got an email about it because I've been talking about it. Dear Emily, I heard your recent show about sex toys. At the end, you mentioned the Fleshlight and a discount when one orders through your website. Well, my wife was away for about 6 months on business, and I've gotten pretty lonely. I've never used a toy in my life, but decided to give the Fleshlight a try. Wow. It sure has made our time apart more tolerable. My only complaint is I'm not getting out of the house very much. Thanks for the advice and the discount. David V. from Burlington, Vermont. So go to sexwithemily.com/Fleshlight and check them out. I gave one to my sound guy in Vegas because they sent me a bunch. I was like, I want my guy friends to try it out because I really want to know. And he's like, Emily, he's been married for 20 years. He's like, I would leave my wife if it could cook.
For a Fleshlight?
Yeah. But anyway, if you want one for fun, Menace, I have one in my garage.
All right. My penis, if you haven't, listened to the last podcast, my penis is been in trouble. It's healing.
Aww.
There's no sores on it or anything Fleshlight. I just had surgery on my penis. It's an unbelievable story. Check out the last podcast.
Exactly. He talks about his penis. Okay, and I'm glad you and your penis are here in LA in good spirits. Okay, sex in the news. Playboy model sues for $500,000 after golf tee and butt stunt goes wrong.
What?
Did you see this picture? It's from TMZ. Look at her butt. Look at that bruise.
Oh, can you see wow.
It? It's the most massive bruise. So former Playboy model Liz Dixon is suing Playboy and radio host Kevin Klein for golf stunt gone wrong. Dixon said she suffered permanent injuries after she was convinced to lie on her stomach, have a golf ball teed up between her butt cheeks, and allowed Klein to take a swing at it. Ouch. Mm-hmm. Footage shows Dixon going along with the stunt, only to have Klein badly miss, nail her in the butt cheek. Dixon was laughing at first, and Klein insisted he didn't swing very hard, but the photo tells the real story. This photo is so scary, gnarly. In addition to the massive welt, the model damaged her hip ligaments and nerves. As a result, she's suing for more than $33,000 in damages.
Oh, that's not that bad.
No, I think it'd be more than that because, whoa, her butt. I mean, that, ugh, look at it. Yeah. Okay, this is even better. Walk of Shame kit for women includes dress, sunglasses, flip-flops, and more for $34.99. A new product promises to save women from the humiliation of walking home from a one-night stand. The Walk of Shame kit, or the Stride of Pride kit that my feminist friend used to tell me, comes with a note that says, call me on one side and thanks for nothing on another, simplifying the whole experience even more. All of the items stowed in a compact canister small enough to fit in your purse on a night out. It includes a breast cancer awareness bracelet. Part of the proceeds go to breast cancer. Shops and hotels have the option of buying the kits wholesale. And it also has, what does it have in it? It has a dress, flip-flops, a backpack, sunglasses, a pre-pasted toothbrush, wipes, and the call don't card.
Okay, the cancer thing is awesome, but I mean, how much of a hoe bag are you that you actually need a kit?
Exactly. And what if a guy is like, what is that, bitch? You seem sleeping over?
Yeah.
I know. It probably won't sell very much, but I thought it was kind of funny. Okay, we can get into some emails. And then we're going to talk about deal breakers because it's always been one of my favorite topics. And especially lately because I feel like there's so many people who either stay in relationships too long for lust and not for love. And they, when you're in lust, which is usually the first 6 months of a relationship, even to a year, you love this person. The sex is great. You're connected. Your pheromones, your hormones, everything's going wild. Your adrenaline. But it's not as easy to see what the red flags are and what's going wrong. And what might be your deal breaker, you might not even notice it because you're having great sex. So we'll get into that in a moment. But first, we'll answer this email. So, and also, thanks everyone emailing me feedback at sexwithemily.com and also on my Twitter and Facebook, Sex with Emily. And Menace is Menace.
Just Menace.
Just Menace.
Follow me on Instagram. That's my favorite.
Instagram's his faves. Dear Emily, I'm really sad about sex and my body since I feel like it's a toss-up between being in serious pain or having a sex drive. I've been on antidepressants for years and can't stop using them due to depression and anxiety. I also have disabling period cramps, so my gyno has me on a medication that helps and has actually stopped the periods. I can function and not have to miss days of work now, but I have no sex drive. I feel awful that I can't give my husband what I want to, but I also don't want to be crippled in pain and in depression. I get really angry at Viagra / men's libido boosters, and since I know there's nothing like that for women, I don't know what to do. How can I have sex and not be in awful pain? Thanks for running such an awesome website and podcast. Love, Amanda.
Tequila, marijuana, what else?
Not always, honey. I got to tell you that it's a bummer. Well, first of all, honey, you're on antidepressants, and antidepressants will just kill your sex drive, a lot of them. The SSRIs, which are like Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, the traditional ones that you've heard about, those, they do. And it's very rare. Sometimes your doctor tries to match you with other meds, it'll bring it back. It doesn't. So I'm not sure if you've tried Wellbutrin. That's a popular one for antidepressant that actually doesn't have as much of the sexual side effects, but you're also having all this pain. So anytime you're taking medication, you're going to have pain. And it is a bummer. There is no FDA-approved male hormone therapy for women with sexual problems, but some doctors do prescribe creams off-label for some women. So there might be some hormonal therapy you can talk to your doctor about. But the major problem with this type of treatment in women is the side effects, which could be acne and excess body or facial hair. So be mindful of your diet, sleep, and exercise can also help restore your libido. That's just one thing. Is like I'm hearing a lot lately about hormone therapy and hormone people because doctors just are so quick to give you drugs when a lot of times if you're suffering from like a depression or anxiety, it could be something with your hormones. I'm wondering, Amanda, if you're also on the birth control pill because women sometimes just like they don't even think about it. They're like, I'm on the birth control pill. I'm on antidepressants. I'm taking this, you know, Advil every day or whatever. And they don't realize that all these things could slowly be like chipping away at your sex drive. So I don't want you and your husband to be in a bad place either because he will start, you know, feeling like, God, I really want to start having sex with my partner. So I would start to, you know, talk to other doctors, see what they can do to play with your meds and see what you can do. Now, also estrogen changes. So to stop the pain, you can also try water-based lubricants. If you're having pain during sex, ask your doctor about like prescription medicines to fight dryness. And then also stress is one of the biggest killers of people's sex drive. So if you take the focus off of having sex and maybe you spend more time with foreplay, I'm wondering, a lot of times I say to women, it's like going to the gym. You don't want to have sex. You don't want to go. And the second you put your shoes on, you get out the door, you get there, you're on the treadmill for like 30 minutes. You think it's going to be five. You're like, I do that sometimes. I'm like, I'm just going to work out for 5 minutes. And then you go for half hour. Sex is sometimes like that. Once you get going with it, you'll be happily surprised that you did, and your husband will be happy as well. So maybe if you, again, communicate with your partner, I always say again, because on every show I talk about how important it is to talk to your partner about sex the second it arises. This shouldn't be something that you keep from him. I hope that you're keeping him aware of what's going on in your life and you're not just rejecting him sexually. But you can spend more time on foreplay. Maybe he could, you know, perform oral sex on you. That's not a very aggressive act. He's licking around you. You could use a sex toy on your clitoris. You could do a lot of other things that could maybe get you in the mood. You could also do mutual masturbation. You could get him off with a blowjob or a handjob. There's other ways right now while you're trying to figure out the pain and the beds and the libido that you can still be intimate with your partner. Because once that goes, it can be really hard to get it back.
Yeah, and then the drugs. My buddy had problems with that. Either he couldn't even get it up because of the drugs, and then when he switched to different drugs, I don't know what the names of them were, but he could just go forever and never have an orgasm.
Yeah, men on antidepressants.
Yeah,
for sure, they go and go and go, and yeah, they can't. But then they can't have an orgasm. It's like this. It's this total curse. They're blessing and curses from the universe, antidepressants. Because when you're severely depressed, you can't get out of bed. You want your life to be over, and it's horrible. And then you take a pill, and you're like, oh, my God, everything's amazing. The whole world is beautiful. but I can't have an orgasm.
Yeah, and then...
And you're like...
You know, go back to men and Viagra and all that stuff. I was reading recently how guys are just, like, ODing on it. I mean, like, just taking too much. And then they got to get their penises amputated.
Really? God, guys, be careful. Can't we just find,
like, something perfect?
No, there is nothing perfect when you're using drugs. And there is no female Viagra yet because it's women for women. It's psychological. We need a lot more, like, stimulation and stuff. And it's super, super tricky. Are
so complicated.
I know. We are so complicated. It's
true.
Ruins
my life. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so dear Emily, I've written you the past about big difference between my sex drive high and my wife's low. In an effort to learn more about what I can do to help raise her interest, desire, and pleasure, I've tried opening up our communication about sex.
And your wallet.
This has not really gotten me anywhere because my wife does not really like talking about sex. She was brought up with sex being dirty or taboo mentally. So I think she approaches issues of sexuality fairly immaturely and does not let herself explore sex and be sexual, i.e., to her, to be sexual is to be a slut. When I bring up topics like, I recently asked her to show me with her own hands and fingers how she liked to be touched, she dismisses those conversations very quickly like she's annoyed by them and continues to tell me those things aren't important to her. Is my wife's attitude about sex unusual? And is her discomfort with talking about it something that a lot of women share? If she's honestly happy and gets pleasure from our pretty limited sex life, I will totally respect that. But I can't help to think there's more out there for us. Love your show. Signed, Stefan. Okay, Stefan, this is a very common thing, mismatched libidos. He wants it more than she wants it more than him. And a lot of couples get together and they just don't want sex at the same time, same rate, same frequency. But I love everything that you're saying here is like everything I would tell you to do. I would say communicate with her. I would say try different things. I would say have her show you how she likes to be touched. But we're talking about some issues here where she feels like a slut. This leads me to believe that it has something to do with her upbringing and some messages that were continually blasted to her through either her religion, her upbringing, and that she just isn't comfortable in her own sexuality because either she was told that it was wrong, it was dirty, like you said, it was taboo, that she'll go to hell. I mean, people are told a whole bunch of things. And maybe she hasn't been with anyone who has slowly showed her how sex can really be enjoyable and open up. So your wife's attitude about sex, you asked me if it's unusual. It is not unusual. It's fairly common for women who were brought up in environments or just like this or who just don't feel comfortable around sex. But it's also really difficult for you because you're trying to grow it. And it's hard to get women to, like, if she's been like this her whole life, it can be really challenging to get her to open up. And so I'm thinking there's some other issues going on here besides just the things around sex. And I'm wondering if a little couples therapy might not be do the trick where you guys can talk about sex in a really safe place. And maybe she's had some, you know, incest or some issues early on in
life.
Maybe
she's just a pain in the ass.
No, Menace. Maybe
she doesn't
have sex.
If you don't got kids, dump her ass and get with somebody else.
If she's on meds, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you got to get to the bottom of it, Stefan, because this is what I can tell you. She's not going to change on her own. It sounds like you're doing everything you can, and what you're doing, though, isn't working for her. So you're using a language. It's you talking or saying, can we try this? Could you try that? But if she's got this huge wall up around sex, she's not going to bring it down for you just by you talking to her. So I think that you might need, this is a call for therapy, a little couples therapy or sex therapy. But I'd say couples therapy.
Definitely.
Couples therapy
and then,
first.
You know, don't.
Because you can't, no matter how many vibrators I tell you to buy and porn to put, this is not where she's at.
And don't deal with it for like 15 years.
Exactly.
And then you're like, okay, I'm done. And then you're just going to want to go like whore around with a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Exactly.
You know?
People don't change unless they want to change. And people sit in relationships for way too long thinking that people are going to change, which leads us to the topic of our show.
Yes.
Menace. Which is kind
I'll
of a common.
I'll never change for you.
You won't?
No.
God damn it, I know that. I don't know how. You're like my longest relationship and you still haven't changed for me. God damn it. But this is kind of, this is deal breakers. This is those things, you know, the catch that's a particular individual cannot overlook and ultimately outweighs any redeeming quality the individual may possess. My mom, as you know, I love, she always gives me great quotes. Mm-hmm. She always calls it the, God, what did I say that my mom called it? The, I was just talking about this the other day, the fatal flaw. She's like, oh, Emily, because every guy I date has a fatal flaw. She's like, what's his fatal flaw? So this is just something that you just cannot deal with in your partner. And a lot of times you know this in your head, but you think, oh, they might change. Oh, this is going to happen. But never date someone on their potential. Don't date someone how you think they're going to be. Date them on how they are in the moment. So some common deal breakers. Can you think
of
a common
sometimes women, you hear this all the time, because once they get married or something like that, they totally change. They become like from a super slut to they won't even do anything at all right after they get married.
I mean, you have heard that women stop giving BJs after they get married. I've heard that. Yeah, but I also think that that's what the second that starts happening is when you start talking about your sex life, because the reason why she might be shutting down, also when you have kids, you don't want to have sex right away, but people don't speak the same love languages. So, for example, if you come home with your boner and you're hot and horny for her and she's like busy or she's got off from work, she's not even turned on yet. She's going to keep pushing you away because she's going to think every time you approach her, you want sex. So for those couples who the woman changed and she doesn't want sex, I wouldn't totally blame it on her. I would blame it on the couple's communication about why she doesn't really want sex anymore. This does not have to be a deal breaker. You can try to work on it. But couples so many times think it's going to change. They don't work on it. 10 years go by and they're still not having sex and they wonder what the hell happened.
And it happens too to you guys. Guys all change the time. Too.
Yeah,
you know?
They do change. A lot of people change. That's why
and you're not gonna agree with me.
Okay.
But I'm gonna tell you why guys change too. We're like, oh, he's not having sex with me ever. Because sometimes I don't care, and I know it's hard to believe. But no matter how hot you are, if you are a pain in the effing ass, guys are not going to want to sleep with you. I know this is a concept that's blowing a lot of people's minds.
You get married?
Minds. Huh?
Are you talking about like girls who are hot and just lie there and think that that's their whole life is coming
to
them?
No. You see, you're not listening to me.
Oh, you're right.
All right. The thing is, if you are a pain in the ass, you can't make decisions or something. It's just, it's hard, it's difficult to deal with you on a daily basis outside of sex. So guys won't want to have sex with you no matter how hot you are. And I know this is blowing your mind right now because you
girls
never
don't
agree.
Want to have sex with a guy how hot he is if he's a pain in the ass too. So doesn't it go both ways?
No, I think women, even though like guys are super douchebags and you know that he's a big douchebag, women will still sleep with that guy, I believe.
For like a little bit. But then
but they will still sleep with him. Guys
sleep with a hot chick until she
becomes
annoying.
I'm not saying that doesn't happen too, but guys are more, this is what women don't understand. Like, oh, but you see like couples break up and like some guy stops sleeping with some super hot girl that's out of his league. And they're like, dude, why would he break up with her? Because she's a pain in the ass to deal with. You know, that's like more.
You think
more
all
important.
Women are kind of a pain in the ass?
No, I don't. I like giving a hard time.
I know.
About
but
it.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I guess. I mean, if any woman's a pain in the ass, whether she's hot. I know, because some guys think if I could just get, you know, Giselle.
Bunchen.
Even if she wasn't married to sleep with me, then my whole life would be perfect. And, you know, you find a hot girl in the room and I'll find.
She's like crying every 5 seconds.
Have you ever heard that, you know, find a hot girl in the room and I'll show you a guy who's tired of effing her? So,
yeah.
It's true, I guess. Whatever you're saying.
See?
Okay,
I
so.
Guess.
No, I get it. I'm just saying it goes both ways. Okay, common deal breakers. For example, if you're dating someone who's overly flirty, they neglect you publicly, they scold you publicly, which is all forms of disrespect. They lie.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chemistry, sexual otherwise. Why the hell are you with this person if there's no chemistry? Jealousy, that's a really tough one. Have you ever dated a super jealous person?
I haven't, but I've dated the other ones.
Which one? Flirty?
Flirty, overly flirty, which
that's
is...
That's me.
Yeah, totally. I don't even know how guys could even deal with that.
Yeah, they can't. they neglect you publicly? You know, you neglect them publicly. You've neglected girls publicly? You've had girls neglect you?
I've had it both ways, yeah.
Okay. They lie. You've had liars.
I've had liars, yes.
Okay. Misdirection, prioritization.
Okay.
Where does your relationship stand on your priority list? If it's after friends, parents-in-law, and neighbors, then maybe you need to take another look at that list. That's another thing. So if your relationship is someone whose deal breaker is, if you're prioritizing the relationship and you're putting it up there at the top of your list, but they've got a million other things and you're like bottom of the list, then you guys are not meant to match. So lack of communication could be a big deal breaker. They don't back you up. They don't support you.
F that noise.
Overflowing expectation. They criticize you. They disappear. A lot of guys disappear, and women, but there's always like the disappearing man. Have you heard about this? It's like a phenomenon. Guys are like, you sleep with them, it's amazing, they love you, and then like, boom, they disappear.
I had a girlfriend disappear on me.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you kill her? Is she like in the ocean
somewhere? No. Okay. No. We're cool now, but... It was just like, I think a lot of it was my fault too, because when you live in the city of San Francisco, you don't really need a car. So I didn't have one. And then so my girlfriend at the time, she lived outside of the city, and it's like such an ordeal. You have to go over the bridge and all that stuff. And I think she was just tired of going, coming to see me.
No, there can be people who are very geographically undesirable.
Yeah, apparently it happens a lot here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Because it's one of the worst traffic cities in America.
Like, I can't date anyone who lives like more than 8 miles away from me here.
Yeah, and then so they won't.
No,
but a lot of people around here are like area snobs like crazy.
Yeah.
Because...
like, how so? Like, which places?
Well, if you live in a certain area, like, oh, really? You live there? And the places can be, like, amazing, you know? And then you're like,
people are D-bags. Like, who cares where you live? But San Francisco's like that, too, sometimes.
Area snobs. Well, yeah, San Francisco.
Are always like that. Like, oh, you live in the Mission. I don't care.
Yeah, but not everywhere now is, like, in San Francisco.
I'm so glad I don't live there anymore. It's I never thought nightmare. I'd say that. Don't move there now. I got it all shaken
Unless, up. I mean, you have to make... right now, a lot of people are listening to us across the country and across the world. To be middle class in San Francisco, you have to make a minimum over $100,000 a year. You individually has to.
Right.
Not like household or anything like that. You have to make over $100,000 to be middle class.
That's crazy. That is crazy. And you can't buy a house unless you have over $1 million.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Oh my gosh, that's why I got the F out. So, right. Okay. So then other deal breakers, what would you say some deal breakers are for you?
Well, I already kind of expressed it, like being a pain in the ass, like constantly.
Which is most women you meet. So I want to meet your girlfriend because she probably isn't. She's not a pain in the ass at all.
No, not at all. You know, I go, hey, I'm going to go here and go do something.
She's like, ciao.
Okay, cool. Have fun. You know, and I dated girls in the past that were like, something's always happening, like, oh, hey, I'm going to go here to this event with my friends. And suddenly there's like always some drama happen, just so happens to happen while I'm out doing something
else.
And
they need you. Where are you?
They need me.
They want to meet up with you.
When are you going to be back? Like this girlfriend, she's like, whatever, just go do your thing. I don't care.
Right. Good. That's perfect.
That's
cool.
That's what I need.
That's
I need that
exactly
in my life.
What I need too. I need a guy that's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Can I see you?
I can't date anybody ever again that's like dependent on me in any way.
Right.
Like, I can be dependable. Like, I will always be there for somebody that I'm dating. But I just can't have somebody that needs me for some reason every single day of my life because I will die.
Right. No, I know. I understand. And yeah. I think especially these days, our generation is just like, we're so used to being independent and there's so many things to do. And people are working more, men and women, that you just, you know, you don't. But some people love someone to rely on them. So we're kind of more similar. You sound like me. Honestly, you sound like me right now. It's weird, man.
Yeah,
but you're like,
you don't commit for shit. Like,
I commit, but I don't commit to be completely dependent on someone, and I don't want them to depend on me.
And I'm not saying this is not okay, because you're always going to take everything I say in a bad way. But you,
especially when you say it like that.
Well, I got to set it up because you're instantly going to get mad at me.
Okay, go ahead.
But I think that it's always about you in every relationship because you're trying to build your empire,
right? Okay. It's not about me. It's about me trying to survive and not relying on them so I can, like,
yeah,
I don't have
no,
enough time
we go
for
back
that.
To we go back to this thing where we've always talked about in the past couple of years, and it was brought up on the television show that you're on, Misadvised, which you can download right now on iTunes if you want to see it, Misadvised. And it was a big part of the show that you're some point in life, your mother told you to never depend on a man, which is fine. But you've taken it to the extreme where it affects every single relationship that you're in, and you don't focus on the other person at all.
I do focus on them when I'm with them. I just don't have as much time to put into a relationship as they would like. I'm trying to make a living here, and they always want to hang out all the time.
There was one story, if I could share it. It wasn't even a guy. It was just a friend.
Okay,
a friend of yours, not a guy that you were dating at all. That really stood out to me. Why are you cringing?
I'm just making a face because I don't know what it is. Yeah.
That really stood out to me that you and it's going to come off like you're self-absorbed. That's what it sounds like what I'm saying. But it's like it's all about you because you're so worried because you need to take care of yourself. That's a situation. You're not self-absorbed. Okay? But you told me a story about a friend who lost a dog, and he was very worried about that dog, and he was freaking out. And then he's like, oh, we got to go find this dog. And you're like, oh, no, the dog is, it's okay. Let's go do something else. Like, you didn't care.
It's before I understood dog, I thought it would just come back.
No, but it's just like that was somebody that was in need and you weren't really tripping off it, you know? Well, and then I'm just like,
if we like lost a child, I don't remember this story.
Oh yeah, you do. That's why you're crazy.
I really don't. I remember. When was this?
This is you told me the story years ago, but it really like stood out.
Oh,
in my
no,
because and then so
he was an asshole.
But he was like really
upset about his dog, and he thought I didn't. I remember
that,
I was like
that
20
you didn't
something.
Care.
I remember I was like 20. Like, yeah, I got to his house. He's like, oh my god, my dog ran out, and I literally, it's like kids. Until I had a dog or I had a friend with a dog, I didn't grow up with dogs. I didn't grow up with kids. Just defending myself with this story that it was our first date. I showed up at his house and his dog like ran out. And I think I just got there and he was like, we have to go find my dog. And I think I was like, well, doesn't your dog like come back? Like, I just don't think I understood that dog. It sounds really stupid. Like, I didn't know dogs. I didn't know kids until I had my own dog
and kids.
But it wasn't self. But why is that self? Like, okay, so what's your point in that? Like,
the
that
point
I
is like,
that point is to say that I don't put other people's needs.
Yeah.
I don't understand other people. That's so not
true. But I think that's what happens in relationships with you. I've observed it.
What? That I don't take care of their needs at all?
That, you know, it's all
I don't find
about,
their dogs?
You don't find their dogs, and it's all about you. And it's not all about you because, you know, that you love yourself and you're self-absorbed.
I'm not like worship me. It's all about me working.
Trying to survive.
When they want, it's if they want, it's all about... I would not say it's all about me, Menace. I would say that typically the issues I've run into is that they would like to, like most normal people, spend more time with me and build a relationship. Whereas I'm working a lot and doing a lot of different things, and that I can't actually prioritize that over, if I've got work to do, I can't prioritize that over relationship. It's not that I don't sit and help them and listen to them. It's not like I walk in the door, I'm like, how about me? What about me? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Like, I'm not self-absorbed like that. Like, if I'm in a relationship, like, I'm a really good friend and I'm like in friends and relationships. So I think that's wrong, the dog story, the whole thing.
Okay, the dog story is wrong then.
The whole thing was wrong. It's like your secret hate. Well, it's not even that secret hate for me comes out. It's making
secret
me...
hate? What are you talking about? See, this is where you dive too
I
much
say
into it.
It might be all about my agenda rather than their agenda, but I lay out my agenda very early on. And that is, my agenda is that I can't see you all the time and I can't commit.
And you're totally upfront about that. That's
completely.
Why, but some people that are looking from the outside, like, why is she never in a
that's why, because I'm not the right person for you, and that's why.
And then that would be like a deal breaker for me.
Right.
In a relationship.
Right. So we would never date.
Never.
Right. I'd be cool with that. That'd be good. That'd be awkward.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of a good show sometimes. But that would be awkward. So, okay. So anyway, deal breakers, which we talked about. So there was an old poll that it's on Sex with Emily, and it showed that these were the deal breakers for a lot of people, or what made them anxious about a date. Showing up without a plan, 7%. Splitting the bill, 20%. Talking about their ex, 33%. Rude to the waiter, 40%. And I have to agree that first of all, if you're rude to the waiter, they hate their mother, whatever it is, they're rude to anyone, then that's typically how they're going to treat you.
Yeah.
And that's very true. Talking about your ex on the first date, not a great idea. Or even the second date, it's like... Unless it's in context and like the older you get, sometimes people have kids and they're like, oh, my ex and I were in a good place. But if it's really just like that bitch, she da da da. No one. First date is not. I'm not saying you need to fake it. I'm not saying you need to be all sunshine. But just talk about like what you're passionate about, your life, your things. Don't dredge up the past. Splitting the bill. I'm sorry, guys. And this might be like I'm a feminist, but there's something about those like three little words, or it's actually four words, when he says back to you, okay, let's split it. He really does. She doesn't want you to say yes. Just, dude, if she offers to split it, do not take her money and do not take her credit card. Next time, have her pick up the bill. But if you ask for the date, have her pay it. She's offering. She doesn't really want to pay. I don't care. It's not a money thing. It's not how much money she has or how much money you have. But just like on the first date, first few dates, I believe if you asked her out, you should pay.
And also,
she doesn't want to be digging through her purse. Like, here's a 20.
Here's a little tip. I totally believe 100% a guy should always pay. And I think I try to always pay as much as I can, no matter what, as long as I'm in a relationship. But it's always nice that they at least offer. But if the guy
you want them to do the reach, right?
Yeah,
you want
the
them
reach,
to offer.
Or if they offer, then I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'm never ever gonna let them pay.
Right.
But that's pretty cool.
That's
but
true.
Then if a guy goes, oh, okay, then
right.
Dude,
I always offer.
Leave his ass
right.
at That's the restaurant.
True. And I know this sounds so messed up. This sounds so messed up because I offer too. I do. Or I'm like, oh, yeah, but you know, sometimes you just know they just put down their card. They're like, but I think that.
But I think that just, makes you look good.
Right. Then I don't look like a total, like I'm out there like a gold digger or whatever. But I just think even on the first few, you can start splitting it down the road. Or she takes you, you take him. But at the first few dates, don't do that. These are deal breakers. And the reason why we're talking about this is because I think that it's so common that we all fall into similar dating patterns or dating ruts, or we stay in relationships too long. And I think if you get really, really clear on what you will put up with and what you won't put up with. So if you take a look at your relationship right now and what's bothering you. So maybe she, you know, she's really messy and she leaves her socks on the floor. Or maybe he's, you know, always late and it drives you insane. You're like, why isn't he ever on time? These are the kind of things that you can kind of work on. They're not necessarily deal breakers. And so that's okay. You can be like, babe, you know, start coming here like an hour earlier. You know, I need you. You know, this is really, talk about it. However, things like if someone doesn't respect you, they neglect you, they scold, they make you feel bad about yourself. After you hang out with them, you feel worse. Now, a lot of times people accept that, like the woman who dates a bad boy, because maybe they grew up and maybe that's how their parents treat them. Yeah. They're used to feeling that way.
Don't make you feel bad about yourself, Emily. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just said I was about myself, which isn't. And you know me, I'm the first to look at myself, but I'm not a selfish person.
And that's not what I'm saying. See, I thought that's why I try to lay it out and say that you are not like that. But you still see that's immediately what you went for.
Should we rewind this? Because I don't think that that's what you said. That's
what? Cool. That's not what I'm saying.
You don't even
I'm
like
saying.
What you say. Psh, I get it. I'm like, what? Psh, I don't even remember. Like, are you here? Like, look. I mean, whatever. So this is what I say. Is that
are you happy that I'm here now?
Yeah, I love you. That you're here. I forgot. I'm not abused as much when you're not here, but it's fine. So
it
think
gets
that,
too real on here. That's
too
why.
Real, man.
That's
we're getting why. So real. It gets hot here. We're getting hot here. That look at the relationship you're in now and look at if you're dealing with one of these deal breakers, like you feel bad, they're criticizing you, they've cheated, they have a substance abuse problem. This isn't, I think yeah. I forgot to say one. These are things that unless they want to get help, they're not going to change, okay? So you are in a relationship with a fatal flaw or a deal breaker. But if they're little things that are bothering you, those things can change. Even if you don't like the way a person dresses. I remember dating a guy once, like I was like in my early 20s. I'm like, Mom, I hate he wears shorts and his shoes. She's like, buy him new. She's like, go take him shopping. Like, you know what I mean? You have to draw the, you have to remember, you have to look at what you can live with and what you can't. And again, don't date on potential. Don't date on what they could be, but date in the moment of what you're dating. Take a real look at your relationship and don't spend too much time in it. If you feel like it's right and it's one of these deal breakers, because people really don't change unless they want to. And typically they don't anyway. Yeah, that's what I got, Menace. What else? What else? Say something nice. You need to say three nice things to me before we leave.
Three nice things?
Yeah.
One, I love you, Emily, and you're sweet, and you are caring to all your friends. I don't know about in your relationships with men.
I am sweet to them. Until I break up with them, I'm very, very sweet.
But to your friends and everyone, you've always loved your friends. A lot of friends that you have, I don't like, and you have defended them.
Okay, that just took away your first.
No, no, but you've defended them to the end, so that shows that you are a loyal person.
Right.
So that's number two. And number
this is taking too long.
And number three, you put up with me, so you know that you have a heart of gold.
That was selfish right back at you. Okay, anyway, I forgot to say that this show is brought to you by Max for Men. It's a product line all about increasing male pleasure, attraction, and performance. And their products are super reasonable, too. They're just really cool. They have a great shave gel. They have an oral sex gel. They have, like, really, like, interesting men products that are very well made with pheromone attraction qualities. So go to maxformen.com, or you can click on the banner on the Sex with Emily site. Use coupon code EMILY25. And you get 25% off at max4men, that's the number 4.com. That's how I feel about that. Menace, so we'll come back next week and maybe you can think about those three nice things you'd like to say to me.
Yes, I will. I'll come back with at least four.
Oh, you're so sweet.
How about that?
No, really, I love you and I'm glad you're here.
I love you
and
too.
I had a concussion last week, if that's why I'm cranky.
I know. And I wish you would go to the doctor about it, but you don't
I'm
want
fine.
To.
I'm fine. Do I look like I have a concussion?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I feel fine. Okay, everyone, follow me on Facebook and Twitter, Sex with Emily, and like my page and all that, and Instagram, Sex with Emily. Menace is just Menace. People don't know how to spell your name a lot.
M-E-N-A-C-E.
Right. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Just do it. Like, go there. It's easy because then you'll never miss another Sex with Emily show again. Check out my website. Support my sponsors, please, because that helps me be able to bring the show to you for free so you get to enjoy it and I can do more and more shows. So I appreciate that. And thanks for everyone listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. I'm Emily from sexwithemily.com. CrazyGirlProducts.com carries unique pheromone-infused products that make you feel sexy and confident. I'm crazy about their wannabe naked shave cream. It's made perfectly for your more intimate areas. No shave bumps or ingrown hairs. Use coupon code EMILY25 for 25% off at CrazyGirlProducts.com.